people in, whether you're a virologist or a cosmologist or something, or astronomer, I think that people who have specialized training have a kind of a moral responsibility to use normal vocabulary and speak in public. Otherwise, you kind of leave the world to the, I don't know, the Rush Limbaughs of the world.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we bid farewell to one of our own. For the past 25 years, Dr. Stephen Lebo of the Sage Colleges has been a regular observer on WAMC of world politics, the climate, and American democracy. Steve has now decided to become a commentator emeritus, deciding to hang it up from Midday Magazine after all this time. Before he does, I convinced him to have one more conversation about his decision and what he'll do next. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good to talk with you. I'm delighted to be here.
Before we talk about what you'll do next, remind us how you joined on here at WAMC as one of our commentators, well before my time.
Oh, yeah, long before your time. Well, actually, I was working with WAMC probably for at least a decade before, but most of my work with WAMC was taking part in things like the roundtable, answering questions that people called in, very specifically answering very specific questions from your colleagues. And I did that for years. The origin of the commentaries is quite literally because the bulk of my background, while it's very broad, has been especially associated with the relationship between Asia and the West. And if you go back a quarter of a century ago, Hong Kong was about to be turned over to China, and we had all of the international national news absolutely convinced that Hong Kong would be destroyed by the arrival of the People's Republic in something like what we just saw relative to the Taliban in Kabul. I was convinced because of literally a half century, not a quarter of a century, of wandering around China, Hong Kong, etc., back and forth studying it, that Hong Kong would be just fine and that Hong Kong would make that transition and the People's Republic would stay out of Hong Kong affairs. And so basically, I ended up doing commentaries on this very specific topic, and that was the origin, and then it flowed into literally almost a quarter of a century of a huge range of conversations, all that had something to do with largely the modern world and my specialization.
As you look back over the time that you've been doing commentaries, what strikes you about the way that the world has changed?
I suppose if you would go right back to what I started with saying how I got started, I mean, quite literally, it's in a kind of a depressing fashion. I mean, a quarter of a century ago, I was trying to convince the world, and it turned out to be true for decades, that the People's Republic of China would not assert itself in general, in not only in Hong Kong, but it was moving in a more liberal, more open politically and economic direction. And that was true for generations. If you reverse that, what we have right now is literally the reverse, with the People's Republic of China moving toward a more economically centralized system, a more politically centralized system. They've crushed what's going on in Hong Kong. And it's really in a lot of different ways. If you go back again a quarter of a century ago, even at that point, Russia, 1,000 years of autocracy, had just been trying to, in the 90s when I started all this, become a more open, a more democratic society. And sadly, under Putin, in the years since I started, we've gone the other direction. The biggest enchilada of all of that, things I've talked about, as you mentioned earlier, are climate change. On the one hand, we've seen a greater advance in knowledge of climate change. Some of your listeners know I've been doing this, giving speeches on climate change for generations, commentaries all the time on climate change. We're making incredible progress. But the disruption of the global heat balance, which is fundamentally what the climate crisis is about, is a lot worse now than it was before. So in an awful lot of ways, and I hate to say this, the world seems significantly less positive in terms of the directions they're going in now than they were quite literally when I started all of this.
Are you pessimistic about the future?
I would probably say if you take the center of the 90s, which is what we're talking about, I'm significantly more pessimistic in frankly, too many ways. And that is a concern. I have to tell you, though, fundamentally, being a commentator was a wonderful experience. Most of my experience has been, now remember, I've been a professor of international history and politics I'm moving on 37 years at Sage, but I was at SUNY Albany for 29 years, etc. Most of my time was answering other people's questions in short sound bites, frequently on television, where you have to think about the visual and you're being asked questions by someone who, frankly, is a generalist and doesn't know the most important issues. Becoming a commentator for WMC was an extraordinarily valuable experience for me because it allowed me to use my background and to have me formulate what the issues were that were worth talking about. That was an incredibly important experience because, quite frankly, I'm one of those people, if you know that term, public intellectual. People in, whether you're a virologist or a cosmologist or something, or astronomer, I think that people who have specialized training have a kind of a moral responsibility to use normal vocabulary and speak in public. Otherwise, you kind of leave the world to the, I don't know, the Rush Limbaughs of the world. Not all academics feel that way, but I've always thought that that was incredibly important. And so that's one of the reasons I've spent so much time doing this kind of thing. And the commentaries were a perfect way for me to allow myself to focus on what I thought was important based on my background. You know, we all know history does not repeat, but it rhymes all the time. And it's given me a lot of opportunity to often have a good idea about how things are likely to go. I mean, long, long ago, I spent something like a year and a half on WMC trying to convince whoever was listening that invading Iraq would be a really stupid idea. The list goes on and on.
Have you gotten any big things wrong?
Big things wrong? I can think of two that were very immediately big things wrong. I was absolutely convinced there was no way either a fellow named Barack Obama or a fellow named Donald Trump could get elected president of the United States. Everything I knew about American history and their personal resumes made me think it was very unlikely they could ever pass the finish line in a general election. So I would count that as being pretty big.
You know, I want to go back to something you said a moment ago. You said that you think there's a kind of moral responsibility on people like you to try to, you know, speak the truth in a public way. Do you ever worry that this is kind of an echo chamber for people who are already inclined to, you know, share a general worldview about the importance of a liberal education, lowercase l, a pro-democracy American worldview, and that while, you know, you were coming on WAMC and teaching in Northeast classrooms, we kind of missed something that may have been burgeoning in the U.S.?
Oh, well, I must say, while I loved being a commentator at WAMC, I would have been much happier being a commentator in rural Texas or something. I've taught all over the United States, from, you know, rural Washington, downstate Illinois and Ohio. So I have a sense of how the world is different from the coasts. Yes, I'm a Californian who lives in New York, but I would have actually liked to have had that audience. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but because people are so fixated in their ideas and so quick to respond negatively, one of the things that I had to learn was that a commentary is not a 5-minute lecture. And it not only has to have a story. We spent most of our history sitting around listening to stories. We are the great storytellers. We love stories. I spent almost every one of my commentaries, no matter how emphatic it was on the conclusion, starting off often with the hope that no one would have any idea whatsoever where that thing was going, and merely having an interesting story develop so you could kind of bring people into a story and then perhaps walk them toward the kind of conclusion that someone like me, given my values, would have agreed in. But for me, that was an art. It was a little bit like I used to joke that if you can learn, you know, Chinese or Greek, you can learn to speak radio or television. And that was in itself an incredible education for me.
So now, speaking of this conversation, why have you decided to stop?
Well, you know, there's a sort of a season for everything. People no longer playing Bond either. It seemed like a quarter of a century was a wonderful time. But the fact of the matter is that there's sort of two versions of me as a writer. There's the Dr. Liebe, who's written a whole bunch of textbooks and articles and given speeches all over the place and given public lectures. And that's the Dr. Stephen Liebe people on WAMC know about. But there's this other guy, kind of a joke on my name, named Liebe, who writes historical novels, again, on Chinese-American relations. And what I've wanted to do in, you know, I'm in my mid-70s now, in whatever, however much time I've got going, I finally moved. I'm not teaching at SUNY anymore, or I used to teach at Excelsior for decades. I'm in phased retirement at Sage, and I want to switch from the professor, Dr. Lebo, writing nonfiction or speaking nonfiction and spend more of my time writing. I'm working on a third novel in this series I call the Sino-American Tales. So I'm kind of switching over from the Dr. Lebo to Lebo. And it just seems like a logical time to do it.
Do you have a piece of parting advice or a last message you would like to leave WAMC listeners who've been hearing you in this slot for so long?
Make sure that WAMC remains active, alive, and well-financed, because you guys are playing an incredible role and, quite frankly, will be more important in the future than the past, because, I mean, the bottom line is, and we all know, that our democracy itself is in a much more precarious position than it has been, frankly, in any time in my lifetime. And I was a college student in 1968. And that's saying a lot. We're moving into a much more complicated, precarious period. And WMC is a great resource in that context.
Well, far be it for me to speak on behalf of the radio station, but because I'm sitting in the chair right now, I will say on behalf of us at WAMC, thank you for all the many hours of commentary. And if it's all right with you, why don't we label this a phased retirement and find an opportunity to call you down the line sometime if we can?
Well, I look forward to talking. Thank you.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.